Log Talk Radio.
All around me, there is music, and the dancing is my feet. Now that I know you, I long to tell you everything that's on my mind. I'm so glad I met my savior. You're the best I'll ever find. I feel better, so much better. Now that God is on my side.
Oh, my God.
gonna change. I thought that you like something called the extreme. So do your best and push your way through. You want to succeed, that's what you gotta do. Your eyes on the prize, don't neglect your eyes. If you may stumble, may even miss a prize. The prize is make it higher. My bottom makes it big anymore. There wasn't giving up. It ends out with all that door. There was a struggling scene. Somehow it feels. What was the deal when I heard a voice? Set up for the road. It's better. It's not hard to believe that things are gonna change. I don't know how we're gonna last. All the hills over crack and push their way through.
Push it out, push it out.
Keep your eyes on the prize, don't neglect the ride. Cause you may stumble, you may even be surprised.
And the prospect may get harder.
I promise you will get stronger.
Don't forget about the living right.
Stop
the time
and fight. Don't look back and go astray. Now I know you are the only. I tried my way and held on tight. It slipped away, just love and light. Let her go, so will you take it from me?
above all wonder, the world has never known. Thank you. Lightning world, the thunder, I need you, Lord. Right now. Yeah, yeah. I'm a Jesus. All of my trials, I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, I see will help.
I just took the time to pay. Thank you, we thank you, we praise you. Oh, Father, we just honor you this morning. We magnify your name, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I tell you, when I get a victory in Christ, it just excites me. My body was acting up a little bit in the last 2 days, but I tell you this morning, the Lord has completely healed my body. I mean, completely healed my body. You can't believe what I'm telling you. He completely healed my body. So we are just so honored to serve him in spirit and in. I got to go today because I couldn't finish that job yesterday. There's some complications. Not that I did, but I'm taking care of something that somebody has did, trying to straighten up some things that somebody has did. So I have to go to the supply house today to pick up some other things to complete that job today. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this opportunity to come into your presence and come before your people. And, Lord, and deliver this word that you have given to us on last night. Lord, we pray that we are able to speak it from the Spirit as you have laid it into my spirit. Touch the hearts and minds of all the people that are coming on the line today. Some dropped off because I was still playing worship music. And I guess they want to hear the word. I want to hear the word too, but at the point in time, I had to make a pit stop. So, but, you know, we're here. Sometimes you can't hit it at the time that you want it because God is doing something else. But we are here this morning to deliver this message. The Lord give me this last night. I go a lot of stuff, but the Lord, he took me to this book of John. And he said, I want you to talk about the prayer of Jesus. And that's what I want to talk about, the prayer of Jesus. And the subtitle to this message, they were sanctified. And we are going to do this whole chapter the Lord gave us this morning on John chapter 17. And Father, the word is already blessed. The word is already sanctified. And Jesus is already being glorified in us and through us, what we say and what we do. It's only for his glory. So we're going to look at this John chapter 17, the longest prayer that Jesus did in the Bible, according to the word of God. It is called the prayer of Jesus. And then we're going to hit a couple of other scriptures, if the Lord allow us to, before we go out. To get finish this lady, get this lady bathroom in order. Now, how we get here, and Jesus was talking in chapter 16, he was talking about righteousness and judgment and truth, the word of God, and he was telling the disciples how they were supposed to carry themselves. And he was also, the at this point in time, the Pharisees, the scribes, and the priests and the Levites, all the people that were supposed to be people of honor and value, valor, that was in that place listening to him teach and preach the word of God and declaring who he was and who God was, who his relationship to his Father. So here in this book, he began to talk to the Father concerning his disciples, concerning his followers, concerning his proteges, the ones that he was teaching, that he was preparing to go forth when he leave this world. Hallelujah. How many of you know that you're not just the people that God has assigned to you are not just there to glorify you? They're there for you to train them that if so come that God have to call you out of this world, that they will be prepared and equipped to go forth and carry the message that God has placed in your heart and you place in their heart. You know, sometimes some pastors just going to tell you so much. They'll just tell you so much, but they're not going to tell you all because they become afraid that you're going to take their position. Well, I don't know. If God says something to me, I'm going to tell everybody they know. I'm going to tell you because if for some reason that he take me off tonight, you say, well, you know, that was a good nugget that man of God gave me. I'm going to use that. I met with my pastor the other day, and I was telling her, I said, you know, Pastor, you know, when I came to the church and I was stronger on crack cocaine, and I heard you said something 30-odd years ago. And I told her, you said something was so profound. It don't seem like it was much to some people, I tell, but I said, that has helped me through the years. And she said something was just a sweet little nugget. She said, son, if you remain flexible, you'll never get bent out of shape. And somebody was like, oh, that sounds like a cliche. But it was so powerful to me because I was a hot-tempered. I was a hot-tempered person. I would just want to get off at a moment's notice. I'd just go off, you know what I'm saying? But she taught me how if I just take a deep breath before I cut up and exhale real slow, that I'll overcome whatever was trying to overcome me. And I told her, she told me, I met with her Sunday, and we went to the evening service. We had the Lord used me there. And she says, son, you know, I still use that nugget that God gave to me. I said, well, I use it from time to time. I was very grateful. Now, we're talking this morning on the subject matter, the prayer of Jesus, and the subtitle, they were sanctified. And sanctified just means that you are made holy or you're separated. It's the same thing. You're separated for service. Hallelujah. That's what sanctified means. You are separated for service. Some folks think they're separated to make money or get stuff, get materialistic stuff. You're separated for service. Service to who? To service God by servicing his people. How do we serve him? We serve him by serving his people. You know, Jesus, right? He came to do what the Father has told him to do. He said, I come to serve, not to be served. But a lot of times we want to be served. We don't want to serve. And here in John, after Jesus was talking about judgment and truth and all that in chapter 16, he come here in chapter 17 and he begin to talk to the disciples. And he's talking to the Father, praying for them. He's getting ready to send them out in the world because he's getting ready to leave this world. And he has spent time equipping them so that they will be able to go forward when he leaves this world and continue carrying the mantle, carrying the mantle of holiness that they will continue to carry. You see, they got so caught up in what God had given to them. The Bible said that they sold all that they had and they gave that they had and gave to whoever had need of, from the least to the greatest. They give what they had. Not that I'm telling you to sell your house and you can't give it away. But in that time that they were in, that dispensation that they were in with Jesus, and Jesus is giving them the instruction when he left, they felt they only had one purpose, and that was to live and declare the kingdom of God was at hand. Get people ready to meet Jesus. That was their only intention. So here in this book, the Bible says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, listen to Jesus. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee. Jesus is releasing some heavy word right here. Heavy word. Because, you know, the people didn't believe that he was the son of God. But he's saying now, the hour has come. The hour has come for him to leave this earth. The hour has come for him to go back into the bosom of the Father. Hallelujah. Some of us, we want to go to see the Father, but we don't want to leave this world. And you only got one chance. You're either going to leave this world to see him, or you're going to stay in this world and die in this world. That's it. Die according to this world. He says that thy son may also glorify thee. We want the anointing, but we want the anointing so that somebody will see us. The anointing is for people to see Jesus through us. When we are ministering this word, we ought to be pointing them to him. Or everything that we do should be pointed to him, not to us. Not because I went to seminary school, not because I got a degree, not because I live in this area, not because I drive this or I have this yacht or this plane. No, that should not be my objective. My objective is to point people off everything that I do when it comes to ministry. Even my life, outside of ministry is still in ministry because I'm still talking about Jesus all the time. He's talking. And you hear what Jesus is saying. He's pointing back to the Father. What we should be doing is pointing back to Jesus, who pointed back to the Father. But we pointed ourselves. Jesus prayed in this chapter is intimately linked with the themes and language of his teaching in the Gospel of John to this point. The prayer also serves as a summary of the major themes and underlying message of the gospel leading up to the final climactic event of the Passion of the Christ. Throughout the chapter 14 to 16, Jesus foreshadowed his imminent return to the Father through death and suffering. That time is now at hand. He continues to exemplify obedience to the Father, following the inevitable path to his glorification through crucifixion. Do you know the more that we die to self, the more God is being seen in us. But the more we try to live to self, in other words, live according to the world system, they don't see Christ in us. Jesus begins to talk here in this John, and I'm talking about the prayer of Jesus. And the subtitle, they were sanctified, the disciples. He says, as thou hast given him power, talking about himself, over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. He's talking to the Father. He has laid out his cares for the disciples to the Father. He wants us, not only them, but he wants us to have what he has. Do you know that? Jesus was not selfish. That's what I like about Jesus. Jesus was not selfish. He could have gone back to the throne room and not going to the cross. He had power to do that. He could have denied, but then everything would fall apart. He said, for this very cause I came. For this very cause. So he was obedient even unto death. He didn't say, well, Father, you know, look. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he started to cry out because he was in the man. His flesh was showing up. His human side was showing up. But then all of a sudden, his divine self showed right back. He told the Father, said, if there's any way possible, you can take this cup from me. Then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Because his divine self must be obedient to the Father. And God wants that. Jesus wants to get us, God, Jesus, he wants to get us to that place in him where that we see obedience as the ultimate thing of our life, the ultimate blueprint to our living again. We see obedience. You hear me this morning? I just want to talk to you. I didn't have a message. I mean, there's a lot of messages that God, that the Lord has given us. But I didn't prepare a message for this morning. I know I had to go to work today. But I was laying on the bed, and I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I need something straight from you, something from you today. And I couldn't sleep. He was talking to me all through the night, showing me scriptures. I mean, just show me. And I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. And then in the middle of my sleep, well, actually, he left me. I cried out in the sleep. I said, Lord, help thy church. Help the church. I cried out in my sleep. She said, what are you crying out for the church for? But I was talking to him in the spirit, and I went to sleep talking to him in the spirit, and I ended up speaking in the spirit while I was sleeping. I said, Lord, help your church. Well, I called the church in trouble. People don't think so. 35,000 members and all that stuff, and they got three services. You think that is all right to God? No, the church is in trouble because that folk is not teaching the truth. They're compromising the word of God. He said, come on in. Come on. But it doesn't matter if you come and you are jacked up in the flesh. But you're not supposed to stay jacked up in the flesh when you come. The preacher ought to have the word of God, that word that changed people. Preaching that thing with sound doctrine so people can become sound in the word of God. And said, no, I can't continue living like this anymore. But they teach that happy message, you know, Kool-Aid message. And they walk around shaking their head and sweat dropping off of them like they're doing something. They ain't doing nothing because they're not concerned with the people's soul. They want to keep the people happy because the more the people happy, they can keep driving and flying their planes and all that kind of stuff. Listen. Jesus continued to talk to the Father. He said, I have glorified thee on the earth, the Father says. I have finished. He said, no, Jesus said, I have glorified thee. Jesus doing his work. He's telling the Father, look, what I've done on the world, in the world, on the earth, has bring glory to your name. Jesus telling the Father. And then he says, I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. Hallelujah. Jesus is preaching the same thing John was preaching, the kingdom. And he was getting people prepared for the kingdom to meet the Father, to get a better understanding of who the Father is and who he is. And who the Holy Spirit is. That all is him. And he said, Now, Father, glorify thou me in thy own self. Listen. Look what Jesus said about what he's saying. What is he saying? Let us become one again. Listen what Jesus said. You got to see the scripture. Don't look at it in the natural. See what Jesus said. He said, and now, oh, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. There were only one. This folk went around there, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Because they don't get the revelation. They don't see in the spirit. They look in the flesh and they can't see what God is showing them. When they get this revelation, their ministry goes to another dimension. I tell you, I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, my Lord Jesus. Oh, I feel his presence. He said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. Talk about the disciples. Thine they were, and thou givest them me. And they have kept thy word. See, what God wants us to do, you and I, we have to do the same thing the apostles did. We got to keep the word. We can't just keep the word only on Sunday and Wednesday night and on Saturday morning or Friday morning. We got to keep the word 24/7. This word has to be the manuscript. It has to be the blueprint that takes us from Sunday to Sunday. Every day, 24/7. We want to be holy when we see the preachers, the ones that look like us, that act like us on the certain days.
And then after that day, that moment we go about acting like what we really are, a fool. Don't allow God to change us. This Holy Spirit, I thought he dropped this in my spirit last night. And I tell you, oh my God, I was so excited. I read it on my computer. And Lord, he just blessed me with this. He says, they keep thy word. Now they have known that all thine, all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. So we got to understand. Everything is coming through Jesus from the Father to us. He's the doorway. He told you that in John 10. If you come in any way you're thief, any other way you're thief and a robber. Hallelujah. You got folk today preaching, billionaires on getting on TV. They got their own television channels, stations, and they're getting in drawing preachers to them because they can wreck the cheap preachers, big tech, $1 million tech, $2 and $3 million tech, and they got the preachers, these well-known preachers that leading people straight into hell, telling them that there's many more ways to God than Jesus. And then you'll get a well-sophisticated preacher can say, well, why would God make only one way? Why would he only make one? Why would God make only one way to himself? You got the preachers saying that stuff. Well-known preachers. And these folks that don't study their Bible, I believe in them, and they're being led astray by this foolishness that these people are saying. That's why the Bible says you've got to study this thing. You got to get in this word for yourself. Hallelujah. Oh, it's good to have your preacher and your pastor and all that stuff, but you got to take up the mantle for yourself. Take up the book, take up the blueprint, take up the GPS for yourself. God's positioning system, not the global positioning system. God's positioning system, you got to take it up for yourself. Open it, break it open. Don't wait till you hear this buddy on TV and say, oh, let me go. I got this. No, go open that book for yourself. The Holy Spirit going to speak to you like he talked to me last night. He had me talking in my sleep. I was talking in my sleep after I finished talking to him while I was awake. I went to sleep talking to him and talking in my sleep. And my baby just nudged me with an elbow. So you're talking in your sleep, talking about the church. I was asking God to help the church. We need help. Listen to what he said. Glory to God. Let's get down this word here. My God, my God, my God. He said, for I have given unto them the words which thou givest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee. See where Jesus came from? He came out from God, from the Father, and they have believed that thou didst send me. See, you got so many people. This particular scripture right here, John chapter 17 and 8, a lot of preachers and a lot of people in the house is groveling about this. Now, one lady asked me one day, Jesus could be the Father, he could be the Son, could be the Holy Ghost too. How can he be that? How can that be possible? Because he's God. He could be anyhow he wants to be. Can you imagine he's over here speaking here and speaking through me here in Boston, Massachusetts? He's over there speaking through you in Louisiana. He's over there speaking through you in Tennessee, over there in Texas and Mississippi. He's over in the Caribbean. He's over in Europe at the same time. Because he's God. He can do anything, and he can be anywhere he wants to at the same time. Hallelujah. I'm listening. Omniscient, omnipresent, powerful. And he said, no, you see, we got to keep this thing. When we get this thing, we got to keep it in our heart. Even though we give it away to people, other people, we keep it in our heart because this is life. This is what he says. We got to pour this thing into others. Don't try to teach that sophisticated. I put it on Facebook yesterday. Don't try to preach on the sophisticated message. You want the Holy Ghost message. You want a message that makes sense. The message that changed people's lives. That's what you want. I don't want no message that I got the Hebrew, I got the Greek, I got the Latin, I got the French. I'm well schooled, I'm well learning this stuff. But that's all good and well. But anybody getting changed? Is anybody getting healed? Anybody getting delivered? anybody getting saved. That's what I'm concerned about. How we get there? Let me just show you this thing in the dictionary. Let me just show you here in the Hebrew. Let me show you in the Greek. And that's all well and good. Little Greek, little Hebrew is good. But you got to get back down to the source. Put them stuff in the gumbo. But if that sauce don't come out the way you want it, it's the way to say they put all this stuff in the gumbo, yet they still don't taste like nothing. And I like cooking. But I like to use a lot of different spices. And I have to read the spice and look at them and say, well, this one going to do this and this going to do that. And if it don't come about, I said, well, I got to find something else because I'm looking for a taste. And I can't find these spices not doing what I want. You got to go back to the foundation. Go back to the root of the word and see what God is saying. Because you hear this body over there preaching this and this body saying that you just, let me get that word they got. Go this manuscript. You know, Apostle Stuart told me some years ago, this blessed me too. You know, I'd get blessed by everybody. And when people was arguing about, they took 14 books out of the Bible. 14 books out. And they only leave with 66. You're supposed to be 80. That's what it said. When people start arguing about it, well, if we had the other 14 books, how much we could do? Well, you're not doing that with the 66 you got right now. But you're arguing about 14 more books that you should have had. You don't even open the 66 you got right now. No, where you open it, and there you got, where you in death straight, your body is in physical decay. You got to go to the hospital. They say you got cancer. You got colon cancer, prostate cancer, liver cancer, lung cancer, throat cancer, brain cancer. You want to open the book then. You want to talk to them then. You lost your job. Your husband leave you. Your wife leave you. You want to talk to them then. Man, talk to them even if your pocket running over. If the boss give you extra hours, talk to me. Don't give extra hours, then talk to him. Because he makes a way where there seems to be no way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You got to talk to him. He ain't looking at what Jesus saying. Jesus is talking. This is all red. All red. He's into love. He said, Jesus says, he sent them into the world. Why? They receive him as the Son of the living God. They receive him and they receive his word. You got people saying that they love God, but they don't receive his word. How you say that, apostle? How you say they don't receive the word? Because they don't obey the word. That's evidence that they didn't receive the word. Because when you receive the word of God will convict you of the life that you're living if you're living a life that's contrary to God's word. And it will call you to back up and say, let me just fall on here, Lord, I'm so sorry. Pull the car over on the side of the street. Lord, I repent. I repent, Lord. I need to strengthen me in this area of my life that I'm weak, Lord. I don't want to keep falling in this ditch all the time. I don't want to keep going back to my vomit like a dog, Lord. You talk to him. And the Lord said your heart is sincere. God will change you. God will strengthen you in that area. So he said, no, I just hear the word. He's just making a lot of noise. He's just making a lot of noise. That's what the devil tell you. But this is real noise. This is what he said. Jesus. He said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine. And all mine are thine. And they are mine. And I am glorified in them. I asked myself as I was talking to God last night. I was asking myself, is God being glorified in the life that I'm living? So you got to examine yourself. Don't point your finger at me. Well, he did you. No. Point your finger at yourself. Deacon Fred and say, well, you're pointing your finger at people, you got four fingers pointing back at you. Remember that? I point all five at me. I examine myself every single day. You know why I examine myself? Because I know I'm not perfect. I'm not professing to be, but I tell you like Apostle we said before, I am striving for perfection. And I'm being perfected every day. The more I search him, the more I talk to him, the more he moves off some of the skills off of me. Takes off some of that heavy weight off of my back. But Jesus recognized, he says that what he has is what the Father gave to him. And it belongs to the Father, and it belongs to him. He says, I now am no more in the world. But these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep true thy own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. See, God, he wants us to be one. He wants us to be one with one another and one with him. There's such a great division. I talk about the church all the time. But there's such a great division in the church. Oh, look, because people are running back and forth across the through the foyer and down the hall. And all. Don't look at that stuff. That's all antics, man. But when we become one, we love unconditionally. We help each other in spite of. No matter. I know I don't have enough money, but I know if you need something, I got it. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you if I have it. I'm not going to say, well, I might need it the next 2 hours. I don't care. I hear my sister need it. I hear my brother need something. I'm going to give it to her as long as I got it. I'm not going to hold it up because I'm not planning to carry anything up this world. I come in here naked, and I'm leaving naked. All those suits I got in there, I give them away. We just give away so much clothes. I mean, I showed brand new, never set on nobody's feet. Brand new. We give them away. I said, well, let me tell you, look around, you got a bunch of new shoes. You don't even wear the shoes you got. Man, just give away some of that stuff. You got clothes in your closet, wouldn't give not one away. Say, I'm going to wait till I get back to a size 36. I'm going to wait till I get back to a size 4. Man, you know you'll get it. You're eating that stuff, all that fried chicken, fried fish, and all that stuff, all them picnics you're going to. Man, you'll get back to no size 6. Man, give away some of that stuff so the poor people can have some stuff to wear and go into the house of the Lord and say that people don't have to look down on them. Because you know they look down on people. They look down on people. Some of them look down. They're coming there, they're smelling stuff. And those are the ones these wrappers arms around. Jesus says here something is so powerful. This verse here is two verses in this chapter. And Jesus spoke the same thing twice. And when he speaks twice, you know he means business. He talks about us being one with each other and one with him. Jesus spoke that twice. And he says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition, talking about Judas. That the scriptures might be fulfilled. See, Judas had to do what he did. So the scripture was fulfilled. Somebody had to betray Christ so that Christ can go on the cross and die for your sin and my sin and our sins, the world's sins. Somebody, and Judas was the right candidate because he was a thief. And he would do anything for money. You got people I was in the church in Aberdeen, and this young man was in the church. And when he passed by, you got drunk. You just got drunk because he was intoxicated. The alcohol was coming out of his pores and sweat. And the church was a nice-sized church, about 2,500 members. And when the offering basket come by him, he didn't have no money to give, but he took some money. He put his hand in the basket. Like he, you know how some people put the hand in the basket with the hand full because they're only going to give $2, but they don't want nobody to see they put the $2 in there, and they put the hand in the basket and then open the hand and let go. Well, he put his hand like that and then took out some money. We don't know how much he took out. Judas was that kind of person. So he was chosen to betray Christ. He said, I know, come I to thee, talking to the Father, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. You and I all have the unending, unspeakable love of joy and love of Christ in our hearts. We ought to be full of glory. Not every minute we get talk, we get to complaining, criticizing, condemning. We have a judgmental spirit. And a lot of times we're not judging the world. We're judging our brothers and sisters, cutting them down before they get up. The truth is the truth. We have to expose wolves. But when you got a brother or sister, you know, really, truly pushing their way to live this thing, you ought to encourage them, ought to edify them. But you got some works that you got to expose. You, especially when you know that they are only objective is to destroy the sheep. The fleece in the sheep. Jeremiah talk about them. Those pastors. So a lot of times when we don't want to talk to that pastor, well, he ought to talk about pastors and bishops. Go and read the book of Jeremiah. Go read the book of Ezekiel. Go read those books and you'll see. Book of Isaiah, it's there too. You'll see they're talking about them, the prophets talking about them. Because God seen them, what they were doing. And had to expose them. We're supposed to expose them too. And God let us see these things because he don't want us to get involved in those things. Because he knows where he brought us from. I went to his church. I went to the church on Sunday. I mean, it was a good thing they had, but a lot of people don't know the reason. He had the pastor got these two plants. And the plants have a lot of significance to them, these two particular plants. And they're tree plants that has that significance. And these plants you should keep in your house all the time. And he has them right up on the altar, and his podium stands in between these two plants. And the moment I saw them, I spurt jumped. See, I got to understand. I said, the people in here don't even understand why these plants are here. But I knew. And because a lot of times you see stuff, you gotta be aware. Let your spirit turn on. Turn on your spirit. And the plants is to ward off any bad spirit that comes into place. If it sucks it out of the atmosphere, these particular plants. And it's one of the plants is poisonous, deadly poison. He didn't have the one inside the church though. But it draws evil out of the atmosphere. It just eliminates it. And but if the pets eat it or if the kids eat it, they will die. You'll have to fuss to get to the hospital. But here in this book here, let's finish the scripture here. This is so sweet. Jesus said to the Father, he says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. Jesus is praying for your protection, my protection, for our protection. The Bible says he's an intercessor. He intercedes for us all the time. Because he has shed his blood for you and I, for our salvation, for our life in eternity with him. So it would be natural that he would intercede for us. But then he went on talking to the Father. He said, they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. And he told the Father, now he said, sanctify them through thy truth. See, you need the truth. What's the truth? The word of God. See, the more that we study this word, the more that we feast on this word, I said, blah, blah, blah. The more that we study this word, the more that we become sanctified. The more we become saturated with the presence of the Lord. The more we become separated from the things of this world. That the things of the world don't no longer have hold on us. Do you hear what I'm saying today? The Lord gave me this last night. I know he wanted me to really get in this and get this thing in deep down in my heart. I don't know about you, but I know that this is causing my spirit man to bubble. He says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. This is the second time he's saying this. And he says, and for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. Now we know Jesus is the truth. But Jesus saying he sanctified himself. He allowed them to see him walking in this obedience. He allowed them to see him falling true on what the Father says. My son, you know, he's giving dive and stuff and all that stuff. Thank God he's holding out straight now. He should be going back to work this week. But he said to me something the other day. He said, He said, Dad, you know, I am so proud. I'm so happy of you. He said, because I remember when you were doing this and doing that. You was wild. He said, but over the years, I've watched you. And I see how God is changing your life. Do you know he brought tears to my eyes? Brought tears to my eyes. You see, when God allowed himself to allow the glory to be seen by the apostles, it makes all the difference in what he has done. So that he knew that when he is leaving this world, he had candidates that would represent the kingdom. We are supposed to be standing up for the kingdom of heaven. Put aside this earthly realm. All we want to do is to glorify the king. That's all we want to do. He's going to take care of us while we're here on this earth. Because he said so. And I believe him. I'm not worried about stuff. And he proves to me. I just got to open my mouth and say, Lord, I need to help some people. I want to call people and beg people all the time. When people call, I know they're hurting because we're hurting over here. And they're hurting worse than we're hurting over here. Believe what I'm telling you. They're hurting worse than we're hurting. I said, Lord, I got to help these people. I got some people I got to put in a place in Africa. I got to put them in a new place. But God has given us money. God is making a way for us. We're not running up to the mall and say, well, you know, I saw this new suit down there looks so good. Oh, I saw new shoes and these belts and stuff. Man, I ran for that stuff. No, God gave me help and strength at my age, and I can run down the stairs at my age. And God said, help the people. And he looked and he said, well, I see you doing what you say you're going to do, son. He said, I see you doing what you're going to do, daughter. So I got to pour you out a little bit more oil. Oh, Lord. He said, I got to pour you out a little bit more oil. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm not going to let you out your lamp run out so early. I'm going to give you a little bit more oil. That's what he does. Listen what he says. My God, he says. Jesus says he sent him in the world. He said, and for their sake, all of them, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. Never, listen to Jesus, never pray I for these alone. He's not only praying for you and I. We already in the church. We already part of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. We already part of the body. Hallelujah. He said, never pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. The message. What message are we putting out? Because we have to be putting out a message that is going to cause people to glean from it. And so I want more of what I'm hearing. I want to know this man that they're talking about every day on Blog Talk Radio. I want to know this man that loved me enough to die on the cross for me. I want to know this man that gave his life for me. I want to know this man that gave his blood, shed his blood so I can live. Jesus said, no, I'm not just praying, telling the Father, I'm not just praying for these alone. But because I know that they're going to preach my words. Jesus called the word their words. The word that they're preaching is his word. But at that time, they're responsible for it. That's what he's saying. We are responsible for the word of God. People will believe that he sent us and want to know him. Jesus says to the Father, never pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. The message that they were speaking. The gospel they were delivering. That they all may be one, as we said again. That they all may be one as thou, Father, are in me and I in thee. That they also may be one within us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. See, when we live this thing, it points back to Jesus. People begin to say, that man of God, that woman of God, they're true believers in Christ. They live what they preach. By the way, sing something, similar to that. You know, you're preaching, you got to live it. You see that stuff? And Jesus says, he wants us to be one with him. We got to have the same mindset. You can't preach this stuff and live something else. He said, and the glory which thou givest me, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. See, in the book of Isaiah, he says he would not share glory with anybody. But here in the book of John, you see, this is authority he's talking about, not reverence. And Isaiah talks about reverence, but this glory that he's talking about is authority. Hear what I'm saying? Well, God ain't going to share his glory with nobody, and that's true. He's not going to let you get the reverence that belongs to him, the honor that belongs to him. And that's what we got to get up here and say, oh, unto God, to God be the glory. It belongs to God. I'm only able to do what I'm doing because of God. Hallelujah. I've seen people younger than me while I was away, much younger than me. And they're walking with canes and strollers and we call it walkers and all that kind of stuff. And this year, God's willing, I'll be 73 years old this year. And I'm saying to myself, Lord, I thank you. Well, I don't have any impediments that I can say about. Because anything that comes in, I turn it over to God quick. God, this is yours. It don't belong to me. So I have to praise him. I have to glorify him. He said, the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. We got to become one. We ought to be fighting to be one, striving to be one with each other, loving on each other unconditionally. Especially when we know each other are fighting for the same, have the same mindset, the same goal, to glorify God, to honor him, his disciples in this earth realm. He says, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast given and hast loved them. As thou hast loved me. You see, when we begin to honor God's word and be obedient to God's word, we'll begin to manifest the love of God. People will begin to see the love of God in us and through us. Even when they try to do stuff to us, they will see that we have the love of God, the compassion of God, the mercy of God. We are willing to forgive them in spite of. We're not going to blow them away. We're not going to cut them away. We're not going to knock them away. But we're going to allow them to see Christ. Even though they're cussing us out, we still speak in love. And they say, well, I'm cussing her out and calling him all kinds of names. He still got a kind word to say to me. You know, that messes them up worse than if you'd take a machete and cut off their hand. They borrow your money and won't pay you back. I was talking to Pastor Short. The other day, and Pastor Joyce, and this technician is trying to take advantage of the man of God, the woman of God, and take advantage of God's house. And he was telling me, man, all I could hear was the love of Christ. He said, but Apostle, you know, they don't know what they're doing. And I had to share that with somebody. I said, they don't even know what they're doing. When they come against us, and we know that we walk in this thing, we're not saying that we're perfect. But we know we walk in this thing, man. We're not going to be perfect that he come here and take us up out of this realm and take us into another dimension. We're not going to experience the perfection till he come. But we are walking this thing the way he showed us to walk. In the dead of the Lord, when he tried to send somebody to mess with us because he was putting that people in harm's way, you don't do this stuff. No. He says, Father, I will listen to Jesus. That's how much he loves us. Listen to him. He said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Now, I want you to see this. This is so tight right here. I love the word of God. Because remember back there in chapter, in our verse 22, he said that the glory he had with the Father, that the glory the Father gave to him, that he gave to them. But now here in 24, he's talking about this other glory that I tell you about in Isaiah. See, he wants us now, he wants them now, the experience, the honor that he has, you know, the reverence that he gets. He said, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me. In other words, where he is, where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Ah, Jesus. He says, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name. And I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. This is the prayer that Jesus made to the Father for the apostles. Not only for those apostles, but for all of us that are washed in the blood of Christ. That's enough for hallelujah right there. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Got a couple more scriptures I want to give you before we get over here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Acts chapter 1. Let's start at verse 1. Luke says, he says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he hath chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. There's no excuse. Nobody can doubt. He was seen, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So he given them instructions. Even after death, he was given instructions. He's still given instructions. Listen to what he said. And being assembled together with them, he's in the midst of them, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, said he, you have heard of me. See, Jesus had already talked to the Father about blessing the disciples. Remember, we talked about that in the book of John 17. He asked the Father to glorify them. He wants to give them the glory. He said, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Will you give it back? Jesus, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times, plural, or the seasons, plural, which the Father has put in his own power. This is sovereign power. This is sovereign authority. You can't know that. You can't tap into that. That's not for you to know. I give you what you ought to know, what you need to know. And he says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses, plural, unto me both in Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, and all of Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus gave them a command. He said, don't leave. See, you got to wait till you be engulfed, till you have been impregnated with the Holy Ghost. A lot of people tell you that they don't need the Holy Ghost, but you need the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is what keeps us walking with a mindset to glorify God, to love each other. See, when the Holy Ghost is in us, I can't hit you. You can't hit me. Hallelujah. We don't even allow that thought to come in our minds. We don't have the luxury. The moment that thought comes, we cast it down because we know it's not of God to hate my sister, hate my brother. I may not be in agreement with some things that you say or do. You may not be in some agreement with some things I say or do, but you can't hate me. Not if you have the Holy Ghost living on the inside. If you have the Holy Ghost. But if you have the Holy Ghost, you can't hate. The Holy Ghost now is a different thing, a different story. Here in Acts chapter 2, there is Jerusalem. The Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. See, this is what Jesus was praying for in John 17, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire. It was burning. It was not fire, but as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. She is very important. This is why God wants us to become one. There ought not to be any division among us. Hallelujah. God wants us. He wants you. See, in my Logos Bible, there's so much narration of that. But I didn't want to go there. I just want to stay here in the King James and let the Holy Spirit just talk to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 14, here, but God says to you and I, he said, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. See, if the division inside there, he's not there, because he's not in confusion. That's why we all need the Holy Ghost, and we all need to allow the Holy Ghost to lead us and guide us into all truth. Don't try to lead the Holy Ghost because you're going to lose out all the time. Ask him to lead you. Ask him to teach you. Ask him to show you. Jesus spoke to the Father on our behalf. He said to the Father what we were not able to say. He knows the Father's heart because his heart is the Father's heart. And the Father's heart is his heart. And he spoke to the Father on our behalf. He asked, he is a faithful son, Jesus is. Now, he prays for his disciples and for all who will ever believe in him. He is a faithful son. The Savior prays for himself in verse 1 to 5. What he asks to glorify your son. Why he asks? So he can give glory back to you, to the Father. He said, he has given eternal life to all the elect. He has completed his assignment. Are you working your assignment today? Are you working your assignment? Your assignment is to reach souls, lost souls. Not too deep. We don't want to go deep. We want to go in the Word of God and let the Word of God touch the hearts of people. The Word of God is a two-edged sword. The Bible calls it a sickle. It's like a sickle. Sometimes it works like a sword. Sometimes it works like a sickle. You ever use a sickle to cut grass? Well, we used to do that back in the country. You got to be careful how you move that sickle, because if you don't make sure you have your hands in the right position, because if your left hand goes the wrong, if you're the right-hander and your left hand is too low down, you'll end up cutting off your fingers. But Jesus is constantly talking to the Father in this book. He prays for his disciples. He reviews his ministry for the disciples. He gives the disciples what they needed to get. All that he was doing, he pointed out to them that that's what they got to do. That's what he pointed out. Now, excuse me. He reveals the Father to them. He has given the Father's word to them. Jesus did this. Okay? He is pointing them. He's pointing them to the Father. Who are we pointing the congregational members to? So we can be glorified? It shouldn't be that way. And I've visited a lot of people that all the people say, I. You respect your pastor. Respect your bishop, your apostle, your first lady. But your main respect is for your Savior, the one who went to the cross. I used to go to a church, and then when the pastor come in, or the bishop come in, everybody on their feet. They said, stand on their feet. The bishop is coming to the house. The pastor is coming to the house. But nobody said for Jesus. Can we stand up and worship Lord Jesus this morning? Can we stand up this morning and give him praise? Can we honor him for keeping us through the night, through the storm, through the bad weather? Can we honor him for providing food on the table, keeping the breath in our lungs? But we get up and we give the man of God, the woman of God, all the praise, all the honor. I say that I have no problem with giving honor to the man of God, the woman of God. But when you put the man of God, the woman of God up top, above the Lord Jesus, you're missing out on the whole thing. Jesus is God in the flesh. And here, he's pointing everything back to the Father. Everything back to the Father. He's going back into the bosom of the Father where he came from. But while he is in this humanity, part divine and part humanity, he's pointing back to the Father. Do you hear me this morning? Listen to what he says. He has given the Father's word to them, prayed for them. He has kept them safe with the exception of Judas. He has set himself apart for their sanctification. He has sent them into the world. See, after God deliver you, save you, and wash you, he sends you out. He sends you out to do some work. Hallelujah. This is why we train people. You know how many pastors leave this Blog Talk Radio? Bishops and all kinds leaving, and elders and deacons leave this Blog Talk Radio and going out doing ministry. That's what you do. You give them all that God has given to you so they can go out and be fishers of men. That's what Jesus did to the disciples. He has sent them into the world, and he reviews the Father's. Jesus requests. He reviews the Father's future ministry for his disciples. He asks that the Father unify them. He asked that the Father impart joy to them. He asked that the Father protect them. He asked that the Father sanctify them. He asked that the Father unify the church. He asked that the Father honor the Son. He asked that the church honor the Son. He asked that the church display God's love. He asked that the church experience God's love. He asked that the church enjoys Christ's glory in heaven forever. This is what Jesus did before he left this world. He prepared the disciples, the apostles, to go forth, win souls for the kingdom. But at the same time, everything that they're doing was glorify the Father. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for the word that you have given us. And we thank you for those that were able to come on today and hear the word. We are grateful that our prophetess Kershaw will come on tomorrow and take her, because I got to leave early tomorrow. I'm going to take my computer with me and go to this lady house tomorrow. We'll be doing the service from her house. We're just so grateful. And you all, I need you all to keep Apostle Washington up in prayer, because she has been attacked. Her daughter has been attacked with the COVID virus, and she's fighting the virus too. So please keep her in prayer and keep Bishop in prayer. You know, the enemy wants to take us out, but he is already defeated. You know, he is a one-hand, one-legged, one-eyed demon. You know, he can't take us out.
We just pray that God bless the airwaves today. This word gone forth over the airwaves. Father, I've given what you have given me on last night. And tomorrow will be working, but I will still be listening to the word. You say the same. We ask for travel and mercy as we travel out today. Take us to this house safe and bring us back safe. Now, Father, we ask that, God, you bless whoever is out there listening that don't know you, that don't know Jesus, don't know his love, his compassion, his mercy, his grace, don't know that he went to the cross and that he laid down his life, that he was pierced in his side, that he was nailed in his feet and his hands, that he was crowned with thorns and that his back was stripped, his chest was stripped open for our sins, blood dripped out of the side and water. If they don't know this, Lord, Father God, I want to give them the opportunity, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, that if they confess with their mouth, the Lord Jesus, believe in the heart that God raised him from the dead, that they will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. See, the Bible is very clear. The Bible says that it starts with you surrendering your life over to Christ. In Acts 2 and 38, Peter says that if you repent, repent and be baptized for your sins in the name of Jesus Christ, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, he starts with blessing us. You know, you can't lose. You know, the people were looking on Peter and John, because they were doing, God was working miracles through them. But you see, Peter and John, they both keep pointing back to Jesus. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this entourage generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. See, this is what God wants us to get to, that place where we have the same. We're all one. In the book of Acts chapter 4, Peter and John had just come up the temple, and the people are still looking at them as the ones responsible for the works. But Peter said, Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that be by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand here before you whole. And he said, this is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, which is become the head of the cornerstone. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name on the heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He talks about Jesus. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned men and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they have been with Jesus. Peter and John was anointed. They didn't have PhDs and doctorate degrees, but these devout people of Israel, of Jerusalem, they recognized they were unlearned and ignorant, but they also recognized that they had been with Jesus. He calls the ones that are not qualified, the unqualified, and he qualified them. The Bible says he used the foolish things of the world to confound the weak things of the world. Listen, wise things. Now, here in Mark, he says unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. See, you have to be baptized. A lot of people talk about the thief on the cross. Well, that's a different dispensation. But in this dispensation, the scripture required that we should be baptized. It's part of your salvation. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible also says that God sent his Son not into this world to condemn this world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:16-17. The Bible also said that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's John 3:19. We want to invite you to come to know, get to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the first thing you're going to require to do is to repent. Repent of the life that you've been living. Call out to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I come to you with a heart of repentance. I come as a sinner in need of a Savior. And according to the word that I've heard, I believe that you have died at the cross. I know, matter of fact, that you died at the cross at Calvary, a hill called Golgotha or the skull. Same name, Calvary. You were pierced, you were nailed, and you were crowned for my sins. A king for a peasant. But you still went to the cross anyway. Jesus, I believe that if I were the only person on the earth, you would have left your home in glory and come into time to set me free. I now denounce Satan and all of his agents and this world system. And I come to you just as I am, loaded down with sin, need a Savior to wash me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness and save me and make me whole again. I open the door to my heart and I invite you now, Lord Jesus, to come in. Come into my heart and fill my heart with your love and your compassion. Be my Lord and my Savior and my soon coming King. And I'll be your child. I will live for you forever. If you have just said that prayer and you believe what you said with your mouth, you receive the word of God. You have just received the gift of salvation. Now, our recommendation, it doesn't say this in the Bible, but this is what the Lord told me in 2010 when we started this ministry. He said to ask the people that receive the gift of salvation to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are easy books to study. And the book of Acts. And then you can go back to Genesis and come on down to Revelation, being led by the Holy Spirit. But start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts so you get a good understanding, and invite the Holy Spirit when you're studying. And then you call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, and tell them that, you know, I received the gift of salvation, and you're studying the word, but you need to be baptized because you understand that baptism is part of your salvation. They might tell you a lot of different things. Well, we baptize Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Don't get argumentative with the pastor or the pastor or bishop, whoever. Just say, if they say they baptize Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you want to be baptized according to Acts 2:38. You say, well, okay, I'll get back in touch with you as soon as I get my guests together, my friends and my family and co-workers and stuff, and even my enemies. Just like that. Lead with a good term, because you never know if God will bring you back to that church to preach a Sunday morning service when you grew up in the ministry. You know, or you may even end up be the pastor for that church, but don't burn the bridge that you have to walk back over. So leave on good terms, okay, and find you a pastor that will baptize you according to the word of God, okay? My pastor told me you got to be baptizing you. Don't start that stuff. Some people do that stuff and then start a whole lot of ruckus. God is not the author of confusion. Leave good. And may you do Get the day set for baptism. Invite your family, your friends, your co-workers, and even your enemies, because you want them to know that your life is changing. You're not already changing, but your life is changing. It's not a one-day thing. It's an everyday thing, everyday thing. That's why we repent every day. Before I climb down out of that bed, I repent every single day. And if I slip because something took over my mind, as soon as I remember, I say, Lord, forgive me. I didn't repent this morning, but I want you to forgive me for my thoughts. And I go on from there. So I set my day. I set my day with repentance in the morning. And then after you come up with that water, find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel. And why we say that? Because everybody don't teach it. A lot of times you see the people jumping here and running here across the altar, walking over the pews and stuff, putting on all this stuff, you know, putting on a show like, want the people to say, man, you see that preacher, man? He's walking across the pews. A man paid all that money to get them nice velour chairs inside the house, and here you come with your nasty shoes and walking right across the pew, right across the chairs. I don't know what to do that stuff. They want to show somebody that they're hot preacher. Man, you don't got to do that stuff. You just got to preach the word. The word is powerful enough to do what it's called to do. You don't have to walk over the people's chairs and dirty up the people's chairs and all that stuff. No, they got to get a shampoo machine to clean the below chairs and all that stuff, man. Stupid stuff. Just preach the truth. You know, we come on here on Blog Talk Radio. We don't boast. And we release this word. Man, and people be calling us, sending us messages from all different countries. I just got a new fella come on here from Uganda or somewhere over there. And, man, listen to the word of Blog Talk Radio. That's another country in Africa that we haven't connected with people yet. And now this guy's connect with us. Because they're hearing the word. Not hearing me, hearing you. They're hearing the word. The word is who draws them. He draws through the word. We get so puffed up and stuff because we preach two words or something, man. Just give God the glory. Peter point that word. You get into a church after your baptism, man, start doing some work. Don't wait to preach. Start doing some work. Say, Pastor, what can I do today? What do you want me to do today? To take some weight off of you, Pastor. What can I do? Pastor might say, clean the bathroom. You're gonna turn up your nose. I ain't come to clean no bathroom. Well, that's ministry too. If somebody don't clean the bathroom, you know how the church will be? You won't be able to go in the church building. It'll be stinking. That's what I used to do. I used to clean the bathroom, all that stuff. So anyway, the line is open. I'm just trying to tape back up this box. The line is open to anyone who wants to thank God for those that receive salvation and those that are going to receive at another day. The line is now open. The line is open for anyone who wants to come on and add two pennies to the message. The line is open for anyone who want to respond. Let me get ready to close up. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for the word that you have given us today. Thank you, God, that you have allowed me to just elaborate on your word, because your word is true. Your word, O God, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We ask, Father God, that you continue to speak to us and speak through us as we yield our lips and we yield our heart to you. God, we pray as this word is going forth to the north, the south, the east, and the west, that it will not return void, God, but it surely will accomplish what you sent it to do, that somebody will get healed, somebody will get delivered, somebody will be restored, oh God. Somebody surely will give their life to Christ Jesus. Oh, Father, we just pray for healing over this line right now, Lord, that you heal the hearts and minds of people today. God, so many people are going through financial problems, physical problems, health problems, marital problems, oh God, relationship problems. Lord, we ask you to heal today. Deliver, restore, Father. We ask you to comfort today, Lord. We ask you to touch Deacon Fraser's uncle, his father, his nephew, all those that are suffering with different forms of cancer. Lord, touch, oh God, Bishop James Washington. Lord, touch Apostle Linda Washington, Lord, as she suffered with the COVID virus. Lord, we just pray today, Lord, that you move by your spirit, Father. We pray for Apostle Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart. Pray for their ministry. Pray for all that's going on with the air conditioning, heating system, Lord, that it all will come together, that the man, the technician that working for them would move fast and get stuff done and stop compromising, oh God. We pray, Father God, even right now, Lord, that the people, more people will come to the house and that the house will be overflowing with many people, oh God, that coming to hear a word from God. Father, we pray for Prophetess Kirsty, Lord God, and Minister Kirsty. Jones, God, we just pray right now, God, that Mr. Jones, oh God, we just pray, God, that Lord, Father God, that you continue to bless them, Lord God, continue to protect them, shield them. God, I ask, Lord, that you provide all their needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father, we are thanking you, God, because we know that you are God that cannot lie. God, you are not like the Son of Man that you should repent over. Oh, God, a man that you shall lie. But, God, we just thank you right now. We praise you, Father God, for your everlasting favor that's upon our lives, oh, God, for how you're keeping us, protecting us, shielding us, oh, God. Lord, we pray for this United States of America. We pray, Lord God, that you bring peace upon this nation, oh, God, that you begin to deliver us from the hands of the enemy, oh, God. There's so much going on in this nation. So many people are killing each other, robbing and maiming and doing all types of sinful acts, Lord. But God, we know that you are still in control. So we are trusting and depending on you, relying on you, God. God, you said if we call, you would answer. You said you would show us great and mighty things. We pray for Pastor Vic as she's setting up the tents, oh God, for summer revival, Lord. We will be in Georgia soon. Oh, Father, we just pray, God, that you touch, oh God. Lord, we ask you to strengthen her where she is weak, God, and where she's strong, make her even stronger. Lord, we ask you to bring more people to the ministry, oh God. She is a woman that, oh God, just loves you, oh God. She's given her life in praising and worshiping you, Lord God, and serving you by serving the people. Father, we pray today, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, for Minister Jones while he's out there on the highway. Lord, we pray that you keep his wife and his children safe, oh God. We pray, oh God, that, Lord God, you let no hurt, harm, or danger befall him while he is out there. Lord, as a man of God driving the highways of God, Lord, we pray, Father God, you protect him while he's out there in all different. Lord God, keep him safe, Lord. And Father, we pray now, Lord, as we leave this line, but never your presence, right, God? We pray, God, that you open the door for Minister on their flowers for her husband to get out of Nigeria and come to the United States with his wife. It's no good for a man to be separated, Lord God. He is in one country and she's in another country, Lord. We ask that you make that pathway open, break, open in, remove the locks, the chains, the barriers that are hindering him, oh God, from getting here, Lord God. He has all the papers to come, Lord, but something is going on between the two governments. Lord, we're praying right now, Father God, that you remove that barrier, that he'll be able to get on that plane and come over here to be with his wife. Father, we just thank you. We just only pray for Francis Campbell, oh God. We ask, Father God, that you continue to keep her. Lord, I don't know what she's doing, but Lord, you keep her safe, Lord God. Lord, sometimes she put too much on the plate that she can't handle. We ask, Father God, that you keep her safe, whatever she's doing. We know she's in the Word, but Lord, keep her safe, Father God, and protect her, Lord. There's so much going on in Mississippi, Lord. We ask you to protect her as she goes and as she comes. Protect Pastor Ben. Father, we just thank you right now. Thank you for Pastor Rose Bonner. Oh, Father, mighty woman of God, we just thank God for her who saw me when I was nothing and continued to pray, intercede for me while I was still going out and acting up in the world, Lord God, and pray me out of darkness and pray me into the light of God. She could have said, let that old drug addict stay out there. But she said, no, he's one that Christ died for. And Lord Jesus just welcomed me with open arms. And God deliver me. Lord, she said, you just have to give your heart to Jesus. Give your heart, mind, body, and soul, and let God do the rest. Father, we just thank you, Lord God. What you do for me, you can do for all those that are in the street, under the bridge, those in down Skid Row, Lord, to the prostitute, the homosexual, the lesbian. Lord, you can set the captives free, God, for there's nothing too hard for you, Lord God. We just pray today for you to cover the children, Lord. Cover the children, Lord. Children's lives are at stake, Lord God. So many children have been kidnapped and taken for the sex trafficking trade, Lord God, the human trafficking, organs trafficking. Lord, we ask you, God, to show up in our situation. Show up, oh God, for this spouse abuse situation, Lord, and set these women and men free that are in spouse abuse. Lord, we ask, oh God, to bring deliverance, bring healing to our nation, oh God. Touch the government, oh God, every governmental office. Lord, we ask you to touch, Lord God, touch the police department. Lord, we ask you to touch the nurses and the doctors and the EMTs that have to stay in the gap for the people that are suffering from AIDS and suffering from COVID virus and the monkey pox and all this coming up. Oh God, we just ask, Father God, that you, oh God, intervene on our behalf, Lord God. Protect us while we are out. Protect us when we come in, Lord. We ask, Father God, to shelter us in the midst of the storm, Father. We just praise you. We just glorify you. We honor you now, God, as we leave this line, but not your presence. God, we ask that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, will continue to rest and abide upon us, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen and amen. Remember, I love you, but God loves you more. Just tell someone today that God loved them and Jesus is the only way. It may be the word that you share with somebody into the ear gates that will make all the difference in their lives. It might stop someone from committing suicide. It might stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into somebody's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That just means that all the characteristics of Jesus should be seen in your life, in our life. Everything that we say, everything that we do should bring glory to him. God bless you all. Have a blessed day. Look forward to seeing you all tomorrow when the prophetess will bring us another powerful word of the message she's been teaching. So I was talking to you all later. I got to get out of here now. Nobody responds, so we're going to get out and go do some work and get this job finished. God bless you. Bye-bye.